One, two, Miss New Booty. Beg it better, beg it back to me. Hit the dance floor. Has nothing to do. But I'm the man with the rest of it. Get it right, get it right, get it tight. Get it right, get it right, get it. So I don't need you, but you need me. Take it off, bounce it off like it's 3D. Like, I even put the little voice on and everything. Call it Paul, Bubba
Sparks. Welcome to the third episode of Peas in the Podcast, where we discuss trends and provide commentary on media and social justice issues, as well as our own personal life experiences. The podcast is hosted by Sarlisha, Jameer, and Daphne. The pods are the articles and stories that are abuzz, and the peas are our own thoughts and takes on those concepts and ideas. I am Daphne, and I am going to start us off with my topic. So, for all you folks out there, my topic today is going to take us on a little trip to Disney World. Y'all will have to reach a bit into the past and allow me to get some things off my chest. Disney did the Princess and the Frog movie dirty, and I, a black, am still deeply angered by it.
I am black.
Now, every time I hear about this movie, I get hot. Nothing makes me madder than all the problems of Disney's Princess and the Frog. From the light-skinned prince, to the fact that she's a frog the whole time, and them releasing this movie the same time as Avatar, just a hot bed of mess. I love this movie, though, so don't get it twisted. Tiana's a Disney princess that is real as fuck. She's a self-made woman, she has goals and ambition, and just like black girls of the world, she has a bunch of magic, but none that will do shit for her without her own hard work. Subliminally, black women have to be their own fairy godmothers, except for Brandy, she had Whitney Houston. Anyway, I just want to touch on all my issues with Princess and the Frog, and feel free to chime in, guys, like, jump in if you need to. So issue number one. Why is Naveen pale as fuck and voiced by a Whitey McWhite dude? And don't get me wrong, I got love for the light-skinned brothers. Y'all know. But this ain't about y'all right now. Naveen ain't even had a kink of texture in his hair either. The only dark-skinned princes I know are T'Challa and Eddie Murphy as Prince Hakeem. I mean, I guess Disney picked up the ball since T'Challa is now technically a Disney king. But kings don't count, kind right? They don't count, right?
Kind of. I don't even know if I count him as a Disney
king. I would count him as a prince, but like he is a king. He was, but you know what? Like
I mean, he was
for franchise and action figure purposes and doll figure purposes. Like he's a prince, a Disney prince, even though he's a king. Because I don't think they have like King Triton. Nope. You know, like I wouldn't.
Yeah, you don't
put them in the same. I wouldn't put them in the same like economic selling point. Class, like princes versus kings, you know?
Facts.
I would say T'Challa is definitely a prince, whereas King Triton is a father and is a king of a princess.
Fair.
Okay. Yeah.
Either way.
And they still call, like, they call him Prince Naveen.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Either way, I'm still going to bitch about this movie. Yeah. So anyway, I once had a woman tell me that Naveen was probably pale to showcase interracial love. And well, couldn't they have shown interracial love on one of the numerous white movies they had produced before and after The Princess and the Frog?
Now, you know nobody want to see interracial love with a white woman.
Ooh,
that would have been pushing it. That would have been pushing it a little too.
Extra mess. Boom.
They would probably say that there was interracial love in The Little Mermaid because she was a mermaid and interspecial. That was enough.
Interspecial relationships.
No. And the king, and the little prince inside Little Mermaid was a little brown.
They're going to be like, she hung out with Sebastian, who was Jamaican. Wasn't that by proxy? Like, first of all, where the fuck was the Little Mermaid that Sebastian had a Jamaican accent and everybody else under the sea?
I feel like the Little Mermaid had to be in... wasn't the prince like Italian or something? Or like British?
Somewhere in Europe. Nowhere near Jamaica. How the fuck did Sebastian get that far? You know, we are going off topic.
Okay, yeah.
Anyways, I just want to know, why do my dark-skinned little boys not get to see their image reflected as royal. And this leads me to issue number two with this movie. Naveen is a bum. He is denounced by his family and he doesn't care to get off his lazy ass to do anything. So in one regard, had he been dark-skinned, Jim Crow and lazy nigga correlations would have abounded. But why did Tiana have to get a lazy bum dude? All the Disney Becky's got niggas climbing towers, kissing corpses, facing dragons and poison, and this bum-ass nigga Naveen won't lift a finger to do shit. Damn! Can't black women get a dude that they don't gotta carry through life? Because when we say we're not carrying nobody, we suddenly stuck up, too independent, or as Killer Cam says, just not fun anymore.
Oh shit, that's petty. Shout out to Juju. He played the hell out of her. Juju out here
doing her own damn thing, okay? Shots up. My issue number three, though, there are frogs. They are frogs most of this movie. Black girl magic is too high in this film to be a damn frog the whole time. So Disney, y'all couldn't tell the story of the princess and the pea instead? Black dude has horrible dating experiences in search of a royal wife, and you could have diversified the fuck out of that cast, only for him to find the bomb-ass black woman is the real royalty and destined to be true to him and herself. Come on, son, y'all sleeping on me. Cut me some of them Disney checks. The princess and the pea would have worked a lot better, just saying. Issue number four. And this isn't so much of a complaint with Tiana, but rather white people and anyone else who tries to shove me the idea that Mary Ice Cold Beth and Ain't Did Squat Sarah are the pinnacles of women changing the game in Disney films. All the women of color princesses have had to do everything in their films with no magic, except for Jasmine. Maybe. Except for maybe Jasmine? Genie's still magic. Anyway. While white women were damsels and in a story that solely is reliant on Kristoff's character to be used as a ploy, would Frozen really be that great with Anna just going to save her sister? Yes, it would have been. But instead, they centered it on a man who is basically the dead center of the story's point of the twist and the turn. So... Frozen being that great and all that other stuff, I'm just gonna have to say you're wrong, sir. Wrong. Under section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall be null and void. If you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, it's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You fool, you stole fizzy lifting drinks, you bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. And despite this movie being pretty dark contextually, it's guidance by Oprah. It's a good Black American story where sometimes no matter how hard we work, we still have to be twice as good to get half as much. So, you can read all about The Princess and the Frog and all the mess in this article I found called The End of an Era, Disney's The Princess and the Frog by Mary Ness. And I have some questions for you guys. So, in this article, it states that Tiana is even willing to wish upon a star for this, although she's otherwise not very into fairy tales. But in a genuinely shocking moment, the film abruptly turns its back on about 60 years of Disney marketing and suddenly announces that no matter who you are, when you wish upon a star, your dreams will come true with a lot of hard work. And maybe not even then, in a further realistic touch, Tiana's father dies before he gets a chance to realize his dream. The film hints that he died in World War I, and in a great touch, spoiler, which is not really because this movie's so old, when Tiana does get her dream, part of the practical side of it, buying the building for the restaurant, comes from all the hard work and money she's carefully saved up over the years. And well, I just want to know, is it fair that we have to use our Black girl magic resources instead of Disney loaning us some?
No.
Well, I liked how realistic movie
and I was gonna...
Because, like, all those other movies, I couldn't
buy. Yeah, and that's what I was going to say is, like, maybe roll with me here on this one because this is a reach, and I know it is. Maybe someone in that storyboard room, in the writer's room at Disney, was like, here are the... No, this is so dumb, you guys. I'm going to say it anyway. Here are the economic differences between... an atypical white family and an atypical black family. If representation truly does matter, which I don't even think they were using that language back in 2000. Listen, I said it was a reach, but let me get it out. I said it was a reach. I'm not defending. I'm not implying at all. But to Jameer's point, like, maybe this is more of a realistic viewpoint for some little brown girls. Maybe they're like, oh yeah, my daddy's not around and my mommy taught me how to work hard. And if Tiana can get her restaurant, then I can achieve my dreams too. I do just have to work hard. As opposed to, let me rub this magic lamp and then a genie with the voice of Robin Williams comes out and grants me my wishes because my daddy's rich.
Let me talk to this Jamaican crab.
Jamaican crab king goes through the forest and experiences necrophilia. Right? Another dude climbs Shorty's hair to get to the tower.
I hate
all these. But at the end of the day, like, don't we live in a society where black women, like, come on. How come we couldn't get a movie where we actually get to pretend and actually have a dark-skinned black man be like, you know what? I'm about to go to the ends of the earth for this black woman. No, we don't even get that. We get her as a frog the whole fucking movie dragging Naveen along.
I don't think Disney was ever going to do that, though.
And this...
I remember when I was talking to white people and they told me that the first Disney, black Disney queen was Nala off the Lion King.
You're not going to animalize us like that.
I rebuked that. I'm like, she might have had a black voice.
Okay. I do think we should be able to stake claim to the Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
No, we do got claims.
Okay, be fair on that. But no, I'm not saying that we are animals. Because that's not the first black Disney human person. So that doesn't count. But that does lead me to my next question, Jameer. Someone once said this to me. And I just want to know, like, what's your opinions on this? Who does Disney owe it to make movies that don't fail black or people of color narratives, though? Like, If they do it, like, who do they owe it to? Who's gonna give them the shakedown that changes something? Or, like, why do they have to do it? Because we can't just talk in terms of companies. Like, out of the goodness of my heart, like, that's not how companies run. So, at the end of the day, who do they owe it to?
It's the fact that in America, right, I think something like 50% of moviegoers are black and Latino. So, like, the audience is there. Like, the black dollar is important. So they should try to be making more movies that are inclusive of black people. Like, we should be able to see ourselves on screen more, especially when we make up a large percentage of the moviegoers in America. It'd be different if, like, it wasn't black people going to the movie theaters. But black people have been making going to the movies a cheap date for ever. You know what I'm saying? Well, now the day ain't as cheap now because tickets done went up and food is higher than fucking Wiz Khalifa. But when people are trying to have like a little cheap date night and they already watched all the movies that was on Netflix, they are definitely going to the movies.
And to that,
damn, Netflix and chill is first.
I mean, why put on pants if you don't have to, right?
Facts. I mean, because you're trying to get the pants off.
It's like, why pants? It doesn't matter at that point. But to that point, Jameer, I wrote this in the notes. I was like, well, I think they owe it to everyone, maybe. And I realized that that's my black girl slant on it, because diversity seems like a given to me. But also, lately, we hear white people getting up on their high petty horse and claiming that diversifying narratives is a fad. And since Disney is money hungry, because they always have been and they always will be, maybe they should jump on that very incorrect bandwagon and do it and get money. And let me see a black girl kicking ass on the screen. Shout out to Letitia Wright. Thank you, Princess Shuri, for that lovely performance in Black Panther.
Another black Disney princess.
Yeah. She is our black Disney princess. Tiana's great.
Sorry, Tiana.
Tiana's great. I cried when I found out Princess and the Frog was coming out, and it was good. I do remember all the hype around it and then watching it and being like, it was good, but not feeling...
It was.
It was cute. I liked it. But I don't think I felt any, like, Oh, this is our first black Disney princess. This is great. Blah, blah. No. Like, I didn't feel the pull.
I'm sorry, but I will pick Mulan or Pocahontas over Tiana any day.
Oh, yeah. So
what? How are we fake?
What? Mulan had the greatest Disney princess story of all time. No matter that they're inaccurate. Maybe it's
because I've always been interested in, like, New Orleans culture and shit like that. But, like, the hoodoo and... I don't know. All that shit was so exciting. And I feel like there's no other Disney movie that made me, like... Some parts of, like, Princess and the Frog was kind of scary. The whole idea of, like, that magical world is so much bigger than, like... Than anything that we could possibly imagine. You know what I'm saying?
You not gonna tell me that anything from Princess and the Frog was better than... Got a girl back home who's unlike any other.
No, but I feel like if the Princess and the Frog has some good songs, but I feel like if the they like the songs in Mulan and Pocahontas,
timeless.
Like I still be saying because
Christina Aguilera had me
out of you.
Yeah, listen, who is that girl I see? Staring straight back at me. Come on, y'all. Y'all can't. Y'all. I don't even remember none of the Princess and the Frog songs.
Wait, I'm almost there. I'm almost there.
Oh, I do know that. That was a great song.
And then that's all I know. People, something, something. But I'm almost.
That was a great song. You're right.
We got to shout out our girl, though. Like, Anika Nani Rose, she's...
Oh, yeah, yeah. She definitely killed that. She killed that.
And she's theater trained. She's been on Broadway.
She's gorgeous.
She killed that shit.
She was the best part of the movie. Like, I can close my eyes right now and I can picture the scene of her. I think she's in a yellow dress and she's doing the fantasy almost there scene. And they're, like, dressed like flappers, and she got the little headband, and her hair has finger waves. And it is that part. I love that part, because I love the Roaring Twenties. Like, Great Gatsby is my favorite book. Roaring Twenties.
I hate
I know you do. I love it. But the Roaring Twenties, and then to see, because I think at that point, like, you know how black people weren't invented until 1985 in popular culture.
Oh, you're right.
So to have
God changed his mind about black people.
So to have black like people. A black girl in the 20s culture in New Orleans, for me, that part I loved. But the rest of it was it was a fine story. It didn't really grip me as much as that one scene did. And then let's bring it back to Black Panther. Like, everything gripped me from literally the beginning to the second end credit scene, where I was like, this is a black movie. Shuri is a black princess. T'Challa is king. Wakanda forever. Get out my face so you can catch these hands. Like, loved it.
Yo, like, I started trying to, like, it was people all on my Snapchat and Instagram, like, with their lips like this, trying to, like, write stuff on it.
I saw somebody got one.
Everybody got the inner lip tattoo right after that.
And I was like, there's not enough money in the world to get me to put a needle inside my lip. I love black people. I love us. But, like, I'm never getting Wakanda tattooed in my lip. I'm sorry. Kick me out of the club. Like, I don't care. I don't want it.
Okay.
Like, I'm trying to get it written in vibranium.
Facts. Oh my god.
The world there.
Okay, so my other question is, am I just being petty and really reading too far into this film? Like, y'all heard my issues.
I don't think so.
From Naveen to everything
else. I don't think so. Like, I totally see where you're coming from. Yeah, when does a guy get to crawl up my, like, Remy 22-inch
bundles.
When's he gonna crawl up? First of all, ain't no dude
gonna be touching my Remy.
Oh,
once
yeah, like
the
I'm saying, like, as much
in,
as Remy comes,
your hands better not be touching.
Get out!
I don't want no hands.
So
touching my hand
instead of the bundle, like she don't. She, the bundles is in her hair, but she throws out the braid hair.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I think that braid hair.
You know how
the good box braids.
Yeah, you get the braid.
And then you put it in a fresh braid. Gonna be heavy. But you do like the Katniss braid where it's all the way around and down. Yeah.
Ah, true.
He can crawl up that.
Gotta even the weight out.
Yeah.
But wait, can you take your shoes off first? And don't grab too tight.
Just, in fact, you know what? Just take your steps down like you in.
He's gonna be slipping down from all the oils.
Yeah.
Don't grab too tight. You're gonna fuck up my edges.
That shit's expensive.
That's that good Cantu.
Yo, bro, he better keep his hands off my Cantu.
He'll be like, Rapunzel, let down your hair. Nigga, you know how long it took me to get this Cantu in this scalp?
I gotta take the stand.
Did you see the episode of Proud Family?
No, I don't watch the.
There's a Proud Family episode when they did. No, Proud Family was.
Oh, God.
To me, that was my first. I consider like Penny Proud like my Disney princess.
That's a major fact. Put that on a fucking show.
I've never like, watched the Proud Family. Because,
like, I grew up watching like someone who's. I grew up watching like a black family and like they just live like a fucking movie. Who cared about a fucking movie? Yo. I cared about like the fact that I could see black people doing black things.
I forget that I grew up with the Proud Family.
On a daily
family.
Basis.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
La Cienega Boulevardes, having Zoe, you got your one white chick in the whole group. Like, yo, this was real life, dog. Like,
and DeJanae, because we all like, cause we all know kids. We all know a few we all know a few people in the hood like we all know a few people in the hood that act just like that.
Yo, DeJanae, first of all, DeJanae, like, come on, Disney,
and she
got,
was always in the mix like with her nine brothers and sisters.
Disney got way too black on us, like, yo. And they gave it all. Disney gave us everything they had with the Proud Family.
They had like an episode about, remember the episode with Ramadan and
Black
shit?
Black History Month? Like, the cyberspace joint? Like, yo!
The Halloween? Like,
this
yo,
shit,
they talked about
this shit couldn't have
got
better unless they did a crossover with Static Shock.
Facts. Yo. When she became a superhero and shit? Yo, like, the problem.
Penny.
That's my.
Princess
like,
Penny
that was
Proud.
My princess, yeah.
Princess Penny Proud.
She was the princess of the suburbs, but you know what? It's something.
Facts. All right, guys. So I'm going to switch gears right now and move us into Global Perspective. And this is a major switching of the gears. So today on Global Perspective, Donald Trump has finally announced his meeting with Kim Jong-un that will take place on June 12th. And don't forget, black folks. Juneteenth is right around the
corner.
Can I
say something in regard to that? June 12th is also Loving Day.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the interracial couples. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, loving
versus,
like,
which we'll talk about in a later episode. I will talk about that. Yeah.
I promise. But behold, I'm going to be discussing something more serious and concerning. As we heard last month, the U.S., Britain, and France all joined in the decision to airstrike Syria after President Bashar al-Assad for a suspected chemical attack that killed more than 40 people. To summarize angles here, U.S., France, Britain claim to be fighting against international lawbreakers while Russia and Iran militarily back Assad. This led to Assad allegedly using chemical warfare. And to be clear, chemical warfare was used. However, it is currently unclear who is to blame for their use. This led to Trump sending a day of airstrikes. Now we are back in the news of Syria. And as of today, Israelis and Iranians have been bombing each other, which is leading a shadow war to the brink of full-out war. And leading into my main topic on Global Perspective, Trump's dismissal of the Iran nuclear agreement has caused this very toxic situation in the Middle East. And very quick summary of the agreement, it was aimed to restrict Iran's ability to develop nuclear weapons in exchange for lifting economic sanctions against Tehran. The article states, U.S. allies in Europe signaled that they were willing to penalize Iran's ballistic missile program and expand access for UN nuclear inspectors, two of Trump's chief demands. Yet and still, Trump's willingness to omit Obama's presidential existence took precedent, and he walked right away from sticking to the agreement. In closing, a foreign diplomat said, "You can't just pull out of an international treaty every time you change a president. Diplomacy does not work like that, and this makes the world a less safe place." So currently, Iran and Israel are at war's heels. Trump not backing the deal leaves Europe basically the skinny kid at lunch fighting his bullies without his footballer friend. And we're all just sitting and watching. So you can check out the article called "There's Two." I will be posting the links. "Trump Strikes Syria Attack" and "The Gloves Are Off. Trump Gets What He Asked For in the Middle East" on Vanity Fair. So I'm going to toss this over to Starlisha.
Hey everyone. So today my topic is going to be about coded language. So when I was growing up, I heard phrases like, "You're not a real black person," or "You're such an Oreo," or "You're not really black because I'm adopted, you know, my whole family's white." If I had $10 for every time someone said that to me growing up and through college, and for all the times I'm slightly annoyed when I remember those things, I'd have enough money for a round-trip flight to Florida. So it's not, like, that much, but it's enough that, like, yeah, I could get there and back easily. Like, you know, $120 in, in March or something. next year. If I book today. Right. Growing up, I was called an Oreo all the time, and it was to the point where I actually embraced it. I was aware enough that I, quote, wasn't like other black people because I was raised by a white family. I saw nothing inherently wrong with my family situation, and I still don't. But now I see how allowing my peers to call me an Oreo gave me perceptions of blackness and set up stereotypes in my head. The first instance I had using coded language myself was in college. I went to a private Christian school that had a heavy population of multicultural students. My freshman year, the black students decided to form a black student union. I didn't have any black friends, so I figured this was a good way to meet some people who looked like me. And wow, how wrong was I? I stepped into this space, and the entire time, all I heard was these black people talking badly about white people. I can't tell you a single pull quote from that meeting, but I can tell you that I cried, and one of my best friends, who was at the time a stranger to me, was also very opposing of the talk that was happening, and she's Brazilian. My feelings in those moments further reminded me, I'm not a real black person. I'm not like those black people. Those black people don't like white people, and I love white people. I'm an Oreo, and so on and so forth. Fast forward a few years, I've made some black friends, and I've started to unpack what it means to be capital B black. I've learned that Oreo is dangerous, and saying you're not really black is stripping away an identity of a person, whether you mean it that way or not. I have struggled my whole life with not feeling black enough. As recently as this week, that Childish Gambino video came out, and I loved it, and then I saw some pushback on my Facebook feed from a woman of color who I really respect, and I was like, I'm not black enough. The things she is saying do not align with how I perceive blackness, therefore I am not black enough to engage in this conversation. So it's just like so heavy, you know? There are things that I'm still learning about and growing in. I'm learning more and more about black culture every day. But that doesn't mean that I'm any less black than another person. And we're all learning and growing every day. We're humans, right? Like, black or white, we still learn things. We still unpack things. We unlearn things. And we grow to further better ourselves and learn how to better love our neighbors, you know? So, like, that doesn't make me less black than Daphne or Daphne less black than Jameer. We're just different and we're all learning and growing. So that brings me to my next point. Dear white people, when you use words such as bossy or thug, that is using coded language. Bossy brings to mind a sassy black woman stereotype. Thug, to you, looks like a nigger, hard R, with his pants sagging low and more than likely in a gang. When you see a picture of a black actress at a fancy event and declare out loud, "Oh, that dress is classy for her," we know what you were saying. You were saying that person doesn't meet my negative perceptions of blackness, and they've presented themselves in a way that I, a white person, am comfortable with. Y'all, this is a problem. Saying things like, that's classy for her, is not a compliment. And while we're here, let me just say this. Cardi B can twerk while pregnant. You know that Serena Williams won a Grand Slam while pregnant, and that Audra McDonald tap danced 8 times a week on Broadway while pregnant, and they are also black women. You are just uncomfortable with Cardi owning her body and sexuality because you think she's ghetto, and ghetto does not equal good mom to you.
Facts.
Am I making sense? Like, do I make myself clear? Mm-hmm. Like, incredibly clear. I don't care if you're 22 and claim to be understanding of racism, or if you're 70 and, quote, a product of your time. Stop it. I'm gonna go one step further. Stop it, and then call your friends out on it too. When you hear them using coded language, tell them it's problematic. You're promoting stereotypes and you're promoting tropes, and honestly, how do you think your black friends, if they haven't canceled you already, which they probably have, would feel if they heard you saying these things? That's it. That's the complete thought. This is the things I've been thinking about for the last week, and I wanted to share them all with you.
So fucking true. Man. I'm just like, wait, can I know what was said about the This Is America video that was like different
ideas? So the person I follow on Facebook is she's great. She's queer, she's feminist, she's anti-white supremacy, she's very pro-black, just so smart. And she even said on her post, she was like, my opinion is no more or less valuable than anyone else's opinion. I'm also trying to learn and grow. And that's what I like about her, because she does come across as a little bit intimidating, but she's very humble also, which is great. But she was saying that she doesn't like the usage of black death to educate about the state of America. She was like, and someone else on her post was like, I don't need to see my family members laid out by a black man in this video, which we're not talking about This Is America this week. I think we should save it. But if y'all haven't seen it, please go watch it. It is hard to watch a black man take an AK and gun down a church choir in a music video in order to make a point.
Well, you know, the first time I ever heard statements of that nature was from Bell Hooks. Mm-hmm. And I first of all, I love Bell Hooks. I love her so much. But the first thing she said, she was like, she kind of pushed this whole narrative, the we don't need more slave narratives, where she was like, 12 Years a Slave. Everybody was like, oh my God, did you see it? It changed your lives.
I didn't see it.
She's like, and she was just like, I didn't need to see it because I know, she said, I have seen enough movies where a black woman is getting raped and a black man is getting beaten. Nobody doing that on screen is going to do it any differently. It's still the same thing. Whether you want to give it an Oscar or not, it's still going to be a black woman getting abused and raped and a black man getting beaten and harassed. She goes, I've seen it 1,000 times. We've seen it 1,000 times. So seeing how nothing has changed, why do we keep seeing it? And it's like, you're just constantly exposing black people to the trauma that they're always going to see and be a part of. And it's like, oh.
I feel like that when, I remember when, like, every time there's, like, a big, another black person dying and it's, like, recorded.
Oh,
like,
God.
I just hate when people be sharing a video.
I hate that. I'm like, why would you?
Because, like, I have, like, this one friend who always, she used to go to Lehigh. She would always share that shit. And I'm like, I just had to unfollow her because I'm like, I'm not going to unfriend you because you're still cool peoples. But, like, why do you just have this fascination with seeing
Like, pops? I hate that. Because, like, even when you think of it in your own self, like, if I think about if I got gunned down or somebody close to me got gunned down and it was caught on camera, I don't want to see that shit streamed over and over and over and over and over again, because that is literally the last moments of somebody's life. Right. And then we also are dealing with the political sphere behind it, which is their killer going to be held accountable? Right. Are people going to actually take this seriously? And then you read the comments. Is going to change?
And then you read the comments, and it's like, of course, some people are like, this fucked up. But then there's also like racist
white people. We don't have enough proof.
Just, we don't see what happened. Yeah, we don't have enough proof. 8 hours. This video's 2 days.
This video's only an hour 40 minutes. We don't know what happened. We don't know what happened 2 weeks before this video.
The cop bent down to tie his shoe.
Was able to say anything. See,
I think he farted first.
It doesn't matter.
If he didn't fart so close to the cop. Even for like my thing. So when I was watching the video of like the thing at Yale, right? I'm like, oh my, like, is she gonna die? Even though I knew she wasn't gonna die, like, just watching the video, I was so afraid. Cause like, she started getting smart with it. I'm like, sis, don't do it.
And see, that's the thing. Shut your mouth. Constantly seeing those images, it formulates that trauma where you start to internalize it as your own reality. Mm-hmm. Like, personally for me, whenever I talk to police officers, it's never I have not in my entire life of living talked to a police officer where it hasn't been confrontational. And I know that sounds crazy because it's like, Daphne, you're like 5'2" and a girl. But no. Like, every single time, I can't even get the words out to be like, well, what do you want?
Right.
Like, what's happening? It's like this automatic, like, machismo, like, we are the authority. And it's like, yo, like, bro, listen, my brain is working through 45 different scenarios of how you might fuck around and do something dumb and take my life. I just need you to answer every single question that I have.
Yeah.
I don't need confrontation. I don't need all this other shit. Because the reality is, the exposure to the trauma that has happened to Black people has now warped my sense of reality. And it's not even to say that the videos aren't real. They are. But it's now warped my perception of how I will interact and engage with people who are in possession of guns.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but like, when I see a white dude reaching his bag and shouting, enough is enough, I know I gotta get the fuck out of Dodge. We see it over and over and over again, and it becomes our own perception. Like, that's the whole point of movies and books and, like, forms of entertainment. It shapes our society. We banned certain books. It wasn't Catcher in the Rye banned for a long time because we didn't want...
Yeah, it's still considered it's not a banned book.
Yeah, because we didn't want people, like, swearing or talking about prostitution and shit. We control what our society is going to do.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, that's the thing that I've been dealing with in my personal life, and I mean the Met Gala. We need to dedicate a huge chunk to the Met Gala at some point. But
oh yeah, that was everything. There
was a lot happening, and Tiffany Haddish
and a lot of Catholic people got fake mad.
You're appropriating my culture. I'm like,
put all this emphasis. Put that same energy on a priest. Put all that, like, you're appropriate Catholic culture. I'm like, what is Catholic culture?
Yeah, it's not a thing.
My eyes just got so wide.
And I said it.
The same Catholic culture that you brought to Nigeria. I know so many Nigerians with British accents.
That's fair.
Because of Catholic culture.
That's fair.
Yeah, because of Catholic culture. Okay.
So that was kind of how this whole thing started for me. Sunday was the Met Gala. Monday morning at work, coworker was flipping through the pictures, got to the picture of Tiffany Haddish, said the words, "Oh, that's classy for her." And I said, "She always looks classy." And he just got quiet and answered the phone. And that is the root of this whole.
But she always looks
nice. She does.
You know why? Because she's been wearing that same damn white dress for everything. And it looks good. I don't know much about Tiffany Haddish. And I know, Daphne, you and I have had that conversation about her.
We have.
And I don't... Okay, if I have to compare, and I hate that I'm doing this. But if we had to stand up Cardi B against Tiffany Haddish... Which one has the more negative stereotyped view of Blackness? It's gonna be Cardi B. I have never seen Tiffany Haddish do anything super, super extra. Like, she got her little cute dance that she does, and she sticks her tongue out, whatever. But
And she did jump over the thing at the Oscars to meet a celebrity. But you know what?
That's not.
Well, I think you have to watch. I think you have to watch her actual stand up and her comedy skits, because the thing is, I think Jameer might be a little too young for this one. But I really can't talk. But Monique,
you're not that much older.
Queens of Comedy and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Watching those, you see the raunchiness of it.
Yeah, especially Samore.
Oh my, Samore will go off. She was like, "That's more in line."
Samore has this one joke, right? And she was talking about like how if you got like a big dick, you could get smart with her.
We trying to stay on the PG-13 podcast.
Okay? I'm sorry. She said, if you got it like that, you could talk like that. But if you don't, She said, "Don't talk." She said, "You better not raise your voice at me."
I remember that.
Don't do it.
I remember that.
Because I'm gonna just look at you. I'm gonna give you that. I was like, "Oh my god, some more." Because it's like an old ass lady to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. But like for the Queens of Comedy, they got pretty raunchy, and like Tiffany Haddish, she's able to teeter between raunchy and like just all around
acceptable black
hood, like, you know, like real, like she's really relatable to black culture. It's not your Amy Schumer's talking about white feminism and trying to make it funny. It's
real.
That's not her stand-up. That's not her form of comedy. She did a video the first time I ever saw Tiffany Haddish. She did a video, it's like a sex ed class or like a recovering. Look, guys, if I find that damn video, I'm going to put it in with the links so you know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's inappropriate. Okay. It's inappropriate, but that's the first time I saw her. And with Tiffany Haddish, I think right now she's at a point where she's palatable to white people.
Yeah.
And Cardi B, and I think the difference here, too, is that Tiffany Haddish knows how to switch it on and how to switch it off.
Yeah, because Cardi B
is, like, there's no
she's right. She's on and then she's higher.
Yes.
Yeah, she's the thing is,
you have to realize Cardi B has said in multiple interviews that it does make her nervous to do like real sit down interviews where people are not just engaging with her the way she normally does her friends and her family. So it's not that she's not aware. It's just that she constantly says it. Like, I wish I had more practice or training in, like, speaking and talking to people.
But she can pay for that.
She can now, like reality is...
Like, you know, Beyonce?
But Beyonce was bred to do that.
No, when she used to do interviews back in the day, she, like, I remember she did this one interview with Destiny's Child, like, part two, when they had, like, the girl Farrah. She's like, now that Latavia's not here, we can actually sing all of our songs live because she can never sing. And, like, you know, I'm like everybody's just looking at her like, does this bitch just say the other girls can never sing?
But, yeah, I mean, what it really boils down to, y'all, and I put this on Facebook today, I wrote a status, and I would just like to take a moment to read it to you verbatim. I said... And this is, I'm going to close with this because I think we all get the point here. Don't be an idiot is my point. This was what my status said. I wish I could round up every person who called me an Oreo or said I wasn't really black and tell them how harmful that was. I'm still struggling with not feeling black enough, and I can hear their voices in my head stripping away part of me. So please, I'm begging you, if you've ever said this to your black friend, apologize to them for invalidating who God made them, and then resolve never to say it again. And one of my best friends from college posted on the status, she was like, I know I said that so much to / about you in college and never thought twice about it since you said it too. I wish I had known then how wrong it was, and I'm so sorry. I will never say it again. Thanks for keeping us accountable and also having grace as we learn. And I was at work, and I'm really glad, because if I hadn't been at work, I would have just burst into tears immediately reading that, because it was, she and I went through like some really rough things during college, but it was a nice reminder, and it was nice of her to say like, thank you for having grace. And I think that's something as loud as I can get about, like, statuses that start with dear white people, as loud as I can get, I also know that the only way I'm going to affect change, maybe in one person's heart, whether that's a sit down or maybe they read something that I write, is if I allow them to have grace. It's a lot harder to do on a wider scale when there are dudes like hiring hitmen to kill their black neighbors. But like,
Wait, what?
But like on a smaller
was this on Facebook, because you know
it was. This was a national thing that happened today. Yeah. What? Hold on, I'll get to it.
Girl,
let me finish.
I've been reading about
let me finish my thought.
Israel and Iran.
So yeah, I think it's
meanwhile America's blowing right? up. Oh god.
It's easy to hold space for people we know and we love. And I think that is the most important way to affect change in your corner of the world. That's just a little tip from me to you that no one asked for. and yes, there was a dude let me see. I just read it on New York Times. I'm pulling it up.
Florida.
Wait, South Carolina.
Goddamn Florida.
No,
man.
South Carolina. Oh,
okay.
It's close enough.
This dude is 25 looking 60. He has burn marks on his neck. Oh, yeah. He hired... Let me just read you the top paragraph from the New York Times.
60.
A white man in South Carolina sought a hitman to kill his black neighbor, hang the body from a tree, and leave a flaming cross on the neighbor's lawn, according to a court filing. Fortunately for the neighbor, the hitman was an undercover agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Won't white people, won't they try it?
Won't white people do it?
So it's been established that black people have very limited freedoms in America. We know we can't walk around in our own neighborhoods, and we can't use our phones out of fear that they might be confused for guns, and we know we can't even raise our voices at police officers to wear.
Sorry.
What?
Childish Gambino, that's a celly, it's a weapon.
Was that a line in the song?
Oh, man.
Yes. I've only watched it once because I was...
Read the fucking lyrics!
Okay, David already did. I have only watched it once because I couldn't deal, and then David was like, a few hours later, he's like, let's watch it again, and I was like... I'm literally about to go to bed. Like, I can't. I can't watch this before bed. I'm gonna have nightmares.
I can't invite David to the cookout because I'm not the full black delegation. But he's invited to the podcast.
He will totally. Okay, I will listen for that lyric on my next listening.
Yes, yes, he says it. I'm sorry, Jimmy. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay, that's cool. So, we know we can't raise our voices at police officers like our white contemporaries, and now we know that we can't even go to sleep in the communal spaces of our residences. Reading about, I don't want to pronounce her name wrong, so I'm going to say L, and I think it's like Lalade, but like I just know I'm going to fuck it up. Reading about L's ordeal was hard enough, but scrolling down and seeing it via her Facebook Live was gut-wrenching. The first video begins with her neighbor repeatedly taking pictures of her and telling her that she's about to call the cops. The second video begins with two more policemen in Elle's presence. She's explaining that white girl number one has a history of calling the cops on black people. She goes on to say that she had recently called the cops on her friend, another Yale student who had gotten lost in their apartment building on the way to a meeting. The cops ask for her ID and she refuses. She questions them on what they'd be using her ID card for, and they say to prove that she's a resident. And my heart starts to sink in my chest. I was so afraid that Elle was going to end up becoming another hashtag. Y'all know just as much as I do how cops feel about black folks who are too prideful. The cops start asking her sis questions again, and she's getting really annoyed because she's telling her, like, yeah, I have a 12-page paper,
y'all.
Right?
It's finals and, week across
yeah, like,
this great nation.
It's finals.
Yeah. Everyone is
and
studying.
She's like, and she's getting... Yeah, like, she's getting antsy. I'm getting antsy. I'm like, what the hell is going to happen? And the cop asked her, like, he was like, wait, what are you, like, he asked her about, like, events that she's already explained. So, like, she already talked about the girl had called the cops on her friend in March because her friend was inside their dorm space, the same dorm space, looking for their meeting or whatever. And, like, they're like, huh? What? Can you repeat that? And, like, of course, the girls get more and more agitated. And then at one point in the video, she starts getting, like, emotional. She's like, I deserve to be here. I pay tuition just like everyone else. I'm not going to justify my existence here. And they were like, the guy was like, yeah, what are you doing your paper on? She was like, I don't think I have to answer that question. I don't have to justify my existence here. Like, and she said, I can go up to my room right now, open up the door, and show you that it's my room. Why do you need my ID? And I'm like, okay, girl. She's like, just calm down. Because, I'm really honestly, even though the article ain't saying nothing about her being shot, I was just afraid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that part right there really, crushed me. Because it's, the idea that she could do everything right, but her blackness just happens to overshadow it. Like, she's paying her tuition. She fell asleep inside of her residence hall. I fall asleep all over the
house. How do you call the cop? How do you just call the cops and be like, there's a black girl sleeping?
Daphne, know
she
how.
She said that it was an intruder. She said it was an intruder who she didn't think even went to yell.
An intruder?
And I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, and I'm like, she had no, but she knew her.
Bitch is she knows sitting her. Right there with a laptop and textbooks and...
She's just...
I'm sorry, I would have boxed this lady. I would have rolled up, on her house.
No, because they live in the same apartment building. So, she's sleeping in, the lounge area, right? The white lady comes up, cuts the lights on, look, bitch, you gotta go.
It's a common space.
Huh? And I'm like, and she's like, you're not supposed to be sleeping here. And she's like, I'm gonna call the cops. And that's when the video starts, pretty much. The video starts, and she's like, taking pictures of the black girl, outside of her door. I'm like, why are you taking pictures of her? So that's why the black girl got her video camera on the white girl. And she's like, yeah, I'll record you too. And she's like, okay, I guess. I'm like, this girl was deranged. Also, so I started Starbucks looking up like,
all over. But worse.
I started, yeah, pretty much.
Whew.
I started looking up white girl number one. I started looking up her on LinkedIn and stuff. So she has 2 degrees in engineering. She's a lawyer. She actually passed the state bar in New York. And at the moment right now, she's attempting to get her PhD at Yale. And she has online writings. I could only find one, but I found an article that referenced other ones. So for her online writing, she's has support for the KKK. She believes that hate speech should be legal. And in middle school, she wrote on the side of a pro-slavery debate.
What?
She's also a big proponent of the burqa ban in France, and believe that you should be able to run up on people with burqas and just grab them off. And then
can I just run up on her and sock her teeth though? That'd be wrong. Honestly, then I get the cops calling.
Don't do that.
We were talking about freedoms and liberties here, and I was gonna take the freedom and liberty to sock her right in her fucking jaw. But
the thing is, she got a hard face anyway.
Oh my gosh.
She do. She do.
Very wise.
I'm sorry. I take that back. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. But yeah, but honestly, I think this video was very telling, because when people talk about conservatives, they always try to make it seem like they're poor or ignorant. And this girl was a genius. She's she's a crazy racist genius. You know what I'm saying? They're they're so poor and ignorant. They don't know.
Some of them do.
They're this. Yeah,
some of them are master craftsmen.
And she's living proof of that. The fact that she called the police on the black grad student because he was lost inside the dorm. Actually, for that instant, he wrote into Yale and explained the incident a little more. He was on his way to the meeting room and she blocked him. And the corridor was you can't come in because you don't live here. And he's like, oh, well, I have a group project and I'm supposed to be meeting a friend. And she's like, your friend don't live here either.
Yo,
I want to box this lady so bad. I just want her to get these hands.
Here's the real kick. I'm about to tell you what she's doing her PhD in. It's about how women have been treated as subhuman species all across the world, right?
Yo, what?
So she has a particular interest in gender studies. So I'm like, but you don't see where gender and race intersect.
No. Won't white women do it? Won't white women
white
do
feminism
it?
Is literally going to be the death of all of us. I truly believe it.
And again, fuck Taylor Swift.
She's the pinnacle. All
right, y'all not gonna be talking about my baby.
Shut up, Jamal.
Yeah, y'all know. Y'all know I love Taylor Swift.
She knows shut the fuck up, Jamal.
Okay, so what's the list of things we can't do as black people now? Have problems with our receipts.
Bitch,
carry telephones.
We can't even breathe. We can't even breathe, all right? Like,
no, on the root, they actually made a hashtag thing at the bottom of it. It's bad. Like, I'm about to scroll to it right now. They like said, there was a,
napping while black.
There was hashtag moving while black, hashtag black while air and being, hashtag couponing, yeah. Couponing while black.
Starbucks.
Dining while black.
Can we touch on the Airbnb one for a second? Did you guys hear about this one?
Well, Bob Marley's
was that who it was?
Wait, is this the one where the two black women were
checking out their Airbnb?
That was Bob Marley's granddaughter.
What?
And she's trying to sue.
She
for
better.
Everything.
Oh, she
for
better.
Everything that white lady was worth.
Okay, real rap though, y'all. Damn, who says real rap anymore? But anyway, serious shit. If us blacks started calling the police on white people for all the suspicious shit they do.
No, don't do it. You know, you...
Will the police show up? First of all, I want y'all to say something. My name is Daphne McMaster.
Yes, that's a very white name.
I just want you to understand that. If I just start to talk like this and say that I feel a little threatened by this black lady next door, can somebody please come over and just like arrest her and beat her up? I'm pretty sure, Daphne,
your white girl voice is way better than mine. Shit.
I mean,
Jameer, you're gonna have to change your name to James.
And I can use my James Connelly. I can use my middle name Michelle.
Actually, we all got pretty white, basic people kind of sounding names.
And I have a really great phone voice.
I can't use my middle name because my middle name is too far in the Middle East. They're going to be like, what? She supports ISIS? It's like, what, niggas? Nobody said that.
Well, to your...
It's not white. Must be bad.
To your point, Daphne, somebody was having this discussion on Facebook. Someone was like, LOL, what would happen if I started calling the cops on white people? And somebody was like, don't do it. You know how this might end for you.
We do. Because they're going to come searching for us. And I'm going to be like, I called you. No, you didn't, you lying nigger bitch. Like,
exactly. And it's also, I don't know, the Airbnb one really hit me hard because now that I have, like, a grown-up boyfriend, I'm like, ooh, let's go on, like, vacation, and let's, like, do stuff. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm going to have to be attached to his hip and have my phone voice on if we go to, like, certain places at all times. My phone voice.
Code switching.
Like, I'm gonna have to do it. And I already am hesitant with it. But, like, it's becoming daunting to even relax with a friend at a nice Airbnb house. And I'm like, yo, you couldn't just let those girls check out the house. They just wanted to be on vacation for a day or two. It's insane.
So I was recently introduced to this amazing new, well, I guess they're fairly new, clothing brand. I think it's ran by a woman named Kayla Robinson. And, of course, like, you know, since it's blowing up, it's like, she has, like, other people working with her, too. But it's called the Green Box Shop. So they work on making hoodies and t-shirts with empowering slogans and stuff like Black Girl Magic or Climate Change is Real, Trump is a Hoax. Or, honestly, they have, like, a lot of stuff. They actually recently... Not recently, but they got famous for like this one shirt that they had made that Frank Ocean had ended up wearing. So now if you go on their website, it's called the Frank Ocean shirt. But it pretty much says, why be racist, sexist, homophobic, or transphobic? Where you could just be quiet. And like, I had recently started looking them up because someone had shared their thing on Tumblr. And I'm like, yo, like, everything is fair trade, like the cotton is fair trade, and they just have like all these amazing reviews. And it's also owning, like, the originator is an Afro-Latina, is an Afro-Latina woman who I believe is from New York. No, sorry, Baltimore. So the second, especially like the second I found out it was a black business, and then I found out it was like led by like a queer woman of color, I'm like, okay, they getting my whole check. So the second I get paid tomorrow, I'm like buying shirts and hoodies. One girl, her shirt, well, I said one girl is the owner. It says dismantle corporate politics. Like, that's the type of shit that we need to talk about. And if her shirt can like force that conversation, then let's do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Thanks so much for listening to my segment. And it's Jameer closing out.
Be sure to catch us next week with new content, commentary, and mess. Episodes are posted each Tuesday at 7 p.m.